This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. On location, a tradition that started way back in 1979. We're at the State Farm Center as the boys' basketball season comes to an end. I'm Jim Taylor. Four games on tap today, tipping off at 11 o'clock this morning. The 1A game, Meridian taking on Winchester West Central. Phillips Academy out of Chicago taking on the Benton Rangers in the 2A game. That tips off at around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Then the evening session starts around 5 o'clock. Mount Carmel plays DePaul College Prep in the 3A game, and then the 4A game should be a good one between Normal Community and Homewood Flossmoor. Ty Taylor alongside at what is an empty State Farm Center as we begin our show today. And I know we've become spoiled the past couple of years. It's weird not having a team playing at the state tournament, and we're longing for a local team to get back here next year because it's a fun environment.
It is. It's a great, you know, I love how they run this thing. You know, I know there's a lot of people who complain, you know, here or there about the schedule on the semifinal and third place day, but we said it, you know, a couple weeks ago too, the best thing they've ever done is move all four state title games to be played on the same day. This Saturday day, the past 2 years, the crowds have been, you know, really, really good here at State Farm Center. And then today, I think, again, you should see a pretty solid, you know, crowd for the four state championship games. There's a lot of energy in the gym because I think the previous way how they did it in Peoria was, you know, they had the third place games leading into the championship game, which I think takes a little bit away because there aren't as many people coming from those schools for the third place games the following day. So, you know, everybody, if you want to be here to watch your school play for the state title, is going to be here. So it's a pretty fun crowd throughout the day.
Now, the setup today on the program, we'll hear from Coach, we'll hear from the 1A and 2A finalists, right?
Correct.
Today,
yeah.
All four coaches that are playing today. And it's, and then it's interesting that the connections to Westmer, it always reverts back to them. So, the head coach of Winchester West Central, Ryan Seasting, is how you pronounce his name. He began his coaching career as an assistant to Morgan Broad. And when I talked to him following an epic 1A semifinal game, he was reflective of how his career started and the opportunity he had to coach with Morgan Broad, who is a Westmer grad and, of course, the Mercer County Junior High AD. And then I think it's pretty cool that the Homewood Flossmoor head coach, they'll play in the 4A game. He's a Blackhawk Brave from back in the day, Jameer Dismukes, and he played for Darren Bazzari 2011-2012 at Blackhawk, so we say kind of a local connection there. Mm-hmm. And then he coached with Darren in 2016 and 2017, and now the head coach of Homewood Flossmoor, right? So how cool is that?
Yeah, that's great. You know, there's a lot of times you see, like, with how connected basketball is in the state, you know, you look at, like, West Central out of Winchester having the connection with Coach Broad, and then, like you said, with Darren and the Homewood Flossmoor head coach. Really cool to see that kind of stuff. I saw he put something on social media, Darren did, about how he's rooting for the Homewood Flossmoor Vikings this weekend. So I guess I am, too, tonight. That should be a really good 4A state title game with them. And Normal Community, I think those two teams are like two of the three in 4A at the beginning of the season everybody thought would get here, and they both are here. So I think that should be a great kind of main event to the Illinois high school basketball season tonight around a 7:30 tip-off for that 4A game.
It was interesting. So I wanted to get the pronunciation correct of the head coach of Homewood Flossmoor. And we know Darren Bazzari coached at Westmoor back in the day, a Rock Ridge kid. And he said J.D. So I wanted to make sure I got the correct pronunciation. And then Darren, this is a text, and I'm going to share it with our listening audience because it's great. He said, J.D. gave me the biggest compliment a player can give a coach when I texted him to congratulate him on winning the Super and told him I loved him. He thanked me for taking a chance on him. I told him I hope he learned something from me, even if it was what not to do. He said, 100%, I learned to care about people. And Darren said, and that about made me cry. So awesome that there's that connection with Blackhawk College here with the Homewood Flossmoor coach, again, Jameer Dismukes, who played for Darren Bazzari at Blackhawk College. So in terms of the storylines today, you know, we heard it in the media room following the Thursday session of 1A basketball. Meridian is an unbelievable kind of story, and I didn't realize how small of a school they are. And they're from the deep south in Pulaski County, and their head coach, I asked him to explain to me, well, tell me about Pulaski County and Mounds, where Meridian is located at. And he said, you have to travel 20 minutes to a McDonald's, what he said. But they have a really interesting story about one of their top players.
Yeah, so his name's Antonio Flannoy Jr. Academically, he's a freshman. He's 18 years old, though, and he's an electric player. I mean, watching him play on Thursday was super impressive. And then the story with him, you know, he's an easy kid to root for. He's originally from Mississippi. He then went to school originally in Missouri at the high school level a couple years ago, had to drop out to, like, support his family because his dad is in prison, and then his mom, I believe, isn't really in the picture with him anymore either. So he's basically living with a family in Mounds, and they, you know, Coach Davis said, like, they had, like, some of the kids on the team had, like, been playing with him in the park, and they're like, who is this kid? Like, why is he not going to school, and why is he, you know, not playing basketball with us? So he ended up enrolling at Meridian in Mounds. He wasn't eligible to play until January, but, you know, since he's started playing, he's averaged, I believe it's like something like 24 points and 12 rebounds per game. He had another double-double in the state semifinal win for Meridian on Thursday and threw down like a thunderous dunk at the buzzer to kind of put the exclamation point on it. And they're a school that has a ton of, like, transfers from all over the place, really. Like you said, it's in a really interesting location, basically the southern tip of the state. Our friend Nesto Hoops, Aaron Britton, he went there. He's a Meridian grad. We saw him Thursday. He was trying not to be too over-the-top rooting for the Bobcats. But
fist pumps.
Right, and he's the one who actually told us a story about the Flannoy kid. And it's a great story, and that's a team that I think, you know, you hear that, and it's an easy team, easy kid to root for. And like you said, a really small community. I think someone said around 700 is the population in Mounds, and the enrollment is around 130. So, I mean, you look at like a true, like, Cinderella type story in 1A, really small school, really kind of isolated area in the southern tip of the state. And then all these kids that have kind of come together from different places to play, and they're going for a state title day. They're in the 1A game against West Central out of Winchester, which tips off at 11. And then the Flannoy kid, as we said, an 18-year-old freshman, he has one more year of eligibility next year to play high school athletics.
Well, and if, you know, that's the one thing we take for granted, you know, in terms of background. You know, interscholastic athletics are giving that kid a chance.
Yeah.
So he's in school now, you know, and they explained basically, I think Nesto did, he was couch surfing, a homeless kid, you know, looking for basically a place to live and a place to stay. And I think somebody has guardianship of him now, and he's playing. And if you can't root for a kid like that, who, again, had no place to live, was a high school dropout, and now is getting a chance to get an education and play basketball as a freshman at the age of 18, and again, only one more year, but hopefully he can get a GED. Maybe a JUCO takes a chance on him, which they should. I mean,
right.
Good player, man, a double-double type of kid.
And that's the other thing I was going to say about the level of games this week. The semifinals, man, they've all really been good games, I think.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, the four games each day, the semifinal round, you know, eight total semifinals through the four classes have all been really, really good basketball games. A lot of them have come down to the wire. And even most of the third-place games were kind of competitive, too, where I know the 1A third-place game, well, Thursday they were so far behind, it almost went to overtime, and I was assuming there was no way those officials were going to let that game go to overtime, and it didn't end up being a one-point game. But, yeah, you know, the four semifinal games each day, like you said, have been really competitive. It's been really good basketball. And I think today on tap, the four state title games are going to be really good games. Everybody down here was impressive. I thought, you know, sometimes you get teams down here because the paths are different for everybody throughout the state tournament run. And sometimes in, like, the semifinals, you see really big blowouts, but that was not the case this year. It was really kind of balanced. Most games were, I mean, maybe not in doubt in the fourth quarter, but there was no, I think, game that was more than a 20-point win. I think there was one 20-point victory in the semifinals, which was Normal Community yesterday. But other than that, it's been good games. They've been tight at halftime where, you know, the second half, the games have been interesting throughout the week, which has been, you know, you don't always see that at the state tournament, so it's great that that's happened so far.
All right. So I always tell people about the opportunity. So we're going to take a break, and what we'll do, we'll come back and play one of our coaches that we talked to, and then we'll get Coach Matt Troha with the IHSA on. I always tell people it's a privilege and an honor to be behind the microphone every day, where whatever you're involved in. So today I'm broadcasting at the State Farm Center, basically in this building alone with my son and a few other people.
Art and Matt.
And I don't take for granted that opportunity to be here in this environment to broadcast basically the only local radio station originating a show here this morning. That's right, folks, WUMJ. But anyway, I know Ty's done a lot of work tracking down some audio and kind of getting a flavor of this state tournament. And we'll talk to Matt Troha maybe about some of his stories of, you know, basically being the top PR guy for these state tournament events. So let's take a break.
And real quick before we get to break, we didn't really mention the 2A game. It's between Phillips out of the Chicago Public League and then Benton, which is a downstate school. Benton has, you know, I think he's the top vote getter for the all-state team in 2A. He's a junior. Docker Tedeschi is his name. He's getting Division I looks. He's 6'8", really good player. That should be a really good game, kind of a clash of styles. Phillips was really impressive in their semifinal win over Williamsville this week. But I think that the 2A game should be really good. And then, you know, you said we mentioned 3A. We didn't say the story, though, with Mount Carmel and DePaul Prep playing. They're both out of the Chicago Catholic League. So it's two conference schools playing for a state championship in 3A. And those teams played, you know, less than a month ago on February the 12th. DePaul Prep won that game by 3 points, 41-38. And then I don't think we mentioned either, but DePaul Prep won the 2A state title last year, and they had got third place the year before in 2A. So because of the two consecutive state tournament trips, they got bumped up a class because they're a non-boundary private school. So they're 3A, and so they go to state again next year, which are super young, so I think probably a pretty good possibility they'll get back down here. They'll get bumped up to 4A the following year, so they'll go in the span of 2 years from 2A to 4A in the boys' basketball postseason, if they get to say it again next year, which would be pretty interesting, something that probably hasn't happened before.
Yeah, and, of course, they played Rock Ridge, was it two seasons ago in the third-place game? Is that right? All right, so we'll take a break, come back here from one of our coaches here at the state tournament, and then we'll hopefully chat a little bit with Matt Troha. Also on the program today, I think we're going to visit with Kurt Gibson, who is retiring at the end of the school year. He's the IHSA basketball administrator. This is Sportsline. On location on a Saturday morning, coming to you from the State Farm Center.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one, 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Hi, Jim Taylor back on WMJ, WMJ.com. What a 1A semifinal game where they say free basketball as West Central from Winchester. They knock off Aurora Christian. Ryan Seestring, the head coach of West Central. So tell our local listening audience, there's a connection to Mercer County, right? Tell us about your early coaching career.
Yeah, as soon as I graduated from McMurray College, my very first year coaching, I was a freshman JV coach with Morgan Brock. That was at, you know, Triopia at the time. And so that's where, you know, my coaching, you know, began there. And, you know, and I had a relationship because Todd Creel, that was their head coach, was best friends with Morgan Brock. So it kind of everything worked out together there. But, you know, just starting out as a coach, you know, the passion and the love of the game that Morgan had, you know, definitely rubbed off on me. And, you know, how he prepared for games and just a great guy in general. And you know, I'm very fortunate to start my coaching career with him and probably wouldn't be where I'm at now without, you know, every step of the way.
So are you reflective when you talk about career path? You know, doing a coaching a freshman game is a little bit different than coaching a, you know, 1A double overtime semifinal game. But, you know, the path is the path, as they say.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, things haven't, you know, weren't really given to me as a coach, you know, helping him out there. And I spent 4 years in Arizona coaching and then came back and coached at McMurray College with Todd Creel, a volunteer coach my first year and second year, got paid. And then I finally got the West Central job. So, you know, it's been a long path, but I feel like, you know, as a coach, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now without every step of that process happening. And I've learned so much throughout, you know, basketball stuff and non-basketball stuff and how to build a culture. And I give credit to every coaching staff and every head coach, assistant coach that I've, you know, been lucky enough to coach with and just very fortunate to be where I'm at now.
So basketball has a lot of culture and a lot of tradition in Winchester because of this thing they call the Winchester Invitational Tournament. Do you feel that a little bit? You know, on days like today?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We had one heck of a crowd today, and having the longest-running invitational tournament in the state of Illinois, our communities, Winchester and Bluffs, come together for our tournament, and it's a special, you know, special atmosphere, and I give credit to that of preparing us for where we're at now. And it's a special community, you know, communities with Winchester and Bluffs. They love their basketball. There's a lot of times, most times on the road, we have more fans than the home team does. So, you know, it helps bring a lot of energy, and our kids, you know, kind of feed off of that energy, you know, with the passion and the love of the game for both of our communities.
The only other thing I was going to ask you about kind of the state in 1A basketball. So you play a team from suburban Chicago today in Aurora Christian, and you'll finish up Saturday playing a team from the Deep South in Pulaski County, Mounds, Illinois, Meridian High School. What about just kind of those opportunities? You get to experience those in small school postseason basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And I think it just shows how good the competition is throughout the state in 1A basketball right now, whether you're from the North, Central, West Central, South. There's a lot of good teams out there and a lot of good teams that didn't get to make it here. But, you know, we're very fortunate to be here and, you know, we're going to enjoy every minute of it.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz. Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony, built to keep you stable and comfortable. The Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony, featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Get a chance to visit with David Davis, the head coach of Meridian High School out of Mounds, Illinois, which is the deep south of the state of Illinois. First up, you know, coaching interscholastic athletics and coaching youth in these type of moments. Yeah. Tell us about that opportunity.
It means the world to me. It keeps me occupied. It keeps me busy. I mean, it keeps me going. It's my reason. It's my purpose. Loving them, teaching them, working with them. It's I never thought that I'd see myself doing it, but I knew I had a heart for people, and I could see myself being a great coach someday.
Yeah. Well, and you get a great experience then tomorrow, advancing to the, or Saturday, I should say, to the state title game. So this state, geography-wise, is so diverse from north to south. So we're talking about deep southern Illinois near the Kentucky border. So tell us about kind of basketball in that part of the state.
Basketball is pretty pretty good as far as, like, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good, just due to the fact that we're on a tri-state area. We can play those Kentucky schools, those Missouri schools. So we see different styles of basketball. So that's the bright side of playing down there or whatnot. But it's, man, I don't think it's no different nowhere. I think basketball is just basketball being played everywhere. So
yeah, it's a common denominator. So what's it like where what I like about these opportunities is you get a school from deep southern Illinois taking on a school from what? The city of Chicago. How do you get to do that? Through the game of basketball. So what about that?
It's big. It's big. It's give us guys. They see different styles of basketball. They see how the Chicago area run and how they get after it and whatnot. So it's amazing feeling because that's the way we like to play. So whenever they play like that, it's like it's a beneficial to us or whatnot. So whenever we can play both styles of the basketball, run it in transition, slow it down when we need to, do the little small things, we can be very effective or whatnot. So I think down south, deep south, teaches us to play both styles of the basketball.
All right. So I see officially in the IHSA directory, enrollment 131. How big is that school at Meridian? That's a pretty small, bitty little school.
We have high school has two. High school has two long hallways, a front and a back, so just four hallways in the high school. And then we have an intersection in the elementary. That's it. Just four ways to go. That's it. Very small, very simple, easy to find every class, easy to get to within the 4 minutes frame of time period, class period. It's so simple, it's disgusting.
So I'm saying 131 is pretty accurate in terms of total enrollment?
Yes.
So what is this moment mean, you think, for these youngsters and you playing Saturday?
It means everything. It means no matter how big the number is, it doesn't matter. No matter how big the size is of the person it may be or the size of the team, it doesn't matter. It's all about who's winning at the end of the fourth quarter, who's winning at the end of the time or whatnot. So as long as our heart bigger than our bodies and our defenders and our opponents, we'll be okay.
Tell me about Pulaski County and tell me about Mounds, Illinois, for my statewide listening audience. Give me a little description of what that county's like.
Pulaski County, we have maybe four or five. Pulaski County, we have maybe four or five restaurants that our kids can maybe go eat in the county. Very small, very together. Everything's real connected. Everything within from the Pulaski County all the way to the island, probably about 15 minutes from beginning to end. Very small, very small, very small. And what else? We have no McDonald's. We got to drive 25 miles or more to go get McDonald's, to go to Walmart. I'm not going to say grocery store, but Walmart. We got some local grocery stores there, but, yeah, we just got some of those put in place. So it's coming. It's all coming together.
So then the bright lights in the big city today here playing in this environment. What do you think it means to these youngster.
They know they have not only Pulaski County, but they know they have the Deep South on their back. So they know it's more to just them and more to us. And what we, it's more that we have to do. We got more people rooting us on, cheering for us, and we got to make sure we happen. We got to make sure we make it happen.
All right. Coach, congratulations. Good luck Saturday.
Thank you so much, brother.
David Davis, head coach of Meridian in Mounds, Illinois, Pulaski Deep South, joining us on WMJ. Awesome stuff, sir. Good luck, man.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists. Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes Hey Dudes. On sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
All right, WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning on location at the State Farm Center in Champaign. We've been talking about kind of our local connections to this state tournament. Again, the West Central coach coaching with Morgan Brott, a Westmore grad, the Homewood Flossmoor coach played at Blackhawk College for Darren Bazzari, a Rock Ridge grad, and then I don't know how many local connections there are with our next guest to the WMJ listening area because he's married to an elder. So a bunch of connections. Kurt Gibson, good to see you as always, sir. Look good with your blue blazer on. That's when I know it's a big time day because it's state championship day when you get the blue blazer out, right?
That's right. Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, great to be here.
All right. So how reflective are you this weekend? Now, I know there are still several months left in the IHSA calendar year, but this is the final America's original March Madness experience for you as the administrator of basketball. How are you soaking this all in, I guess, this weekend?
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's not me by nature to always enjoy the moment, but I've tried to find a couple of quiet times to reflect and be thankful for the opportunities that have been given me. It's always fun here in the arena, I think, before things get started, where you can really take it all in and just appreciate all the years and experiences you've had.
Well, and it's been interesting, really, for you because you've seen it transition to Peoria from Champaign and then transition back to Champaign. Can you kind of walk us through that or what that's been like in terms of being kind of in charge of the whole experience?
Well, I think the thing that I always reflect on is just how lucky the association's been to have so many good people to work with in both communities, both in Peoria and Champaign. This is a beautiful arena, and I can't tell you enough how much the teams and the coaches love being back here. And the staff has been wonderful to work with. There are a lot of moving parts, but, whether it's been in Peoria or Champaign, the folks have been very responsive as we try to make changes to bring the best experience to the youngsters we can. Today, if fans are watching the games, hopefully they'll notice that we've sort of brought back the old map that used to hang in Huff Hall. Years ago, we put some stars on the floor for representing where the eight schools are located. They're playing in the championship games today. So trying to connect our long history with the 21st century.
So, yeah, it's the third year back in Champaign. I mean, is there anything specifically that you've noticed, like, since it's been back at the University of Illinois at the State Farm Center that you say, like, this is, you know, maybe the place that we should be at? What specifically has stuck out maybe about the experience here as opposed to maybe in Peoria?
Well, I love how loud this arena can get when it's filled up. And last night, for example, when we had those first 4A games going on, the place was loud, and it just – I mean, I think as Illinoisans, we're comfortable with the State Farm Center because we're Illini fans, and we love when we watch the Illini play here, and we can appreciate the same kind of high school experience that these youngsters get to have.
Well, I think, too, like, when you look at the games this year, you don't always get, like, super competitive semifinal games throughout the four classes, but I think, like, in terms of, like, quality of games, like, the closest of them all, 8 semifinal games have been really good. I mean, can you remember a time where it's been, like, this competitive from 1A through 4A, the semifinal games?
I can, and yet, and that Thursday, those Thursday games were phenomenal,
yeah.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, that first game was a track meet.
Yeah.
Teams going up and down the floor. When the ball goes in the hole, whether you're playing at the State Farm Center or at Mercer County or at Belvedere High School, it's always a great experience.
Well, and I know the one thing we always talk about, and, you know, how long have you been in education? You started when was your first
year? Oh, I think I'm about 33 years in.
So people always like to, like, try to draw comparisons of maybe why isn't it like it was in the 1970s? You know, there's so many dynamics in how things have changed so much. I know because we always get in these, we hear these debates about multi-sport athletes. Well, the dynamic has changed. They're multi-season athletes. They just, a lot of kids, for whatever reason, play one sport maybe, and they can play it year-round like you couldn't in years past. And the proliferation of youth sports, where back in the day a lot of kids couldn't come, the only thing they could do was maybe go to the state tournament. Now they can play youth tournaments or they can do whatever. There's overlap in baseball or softball. So you're not comparing apples to apples. It's apples to oranges now. But as he said, I still tell people whatever the state tournament is, I don't care if it's baseball, softball, or football, or boys basketball, or girls basketball. It's a good product. And I've gone to a lot of those, and that's why I tell people if you, for whatever reason, aren't going, well, you're missing out. Give it an opportunity. Now you get most of the headlines because it's the debate's always been bring it back to the State Farm Center.
Right.
And you have to be pleased with the 1A through 4A games being played on the Saturday, because I know last that this is the third sampling of that, and I've really loved that experience the last 2 years.
Yeah, getting to Saturday is a bit of a chore. Those 2 days, Thursday and Friday, are long, but it makes it all worthwhile today. You know, what has our state been around since? We've been a state since 1818. I think you could make the argument that there's no more consequential event that our state puts on than this boys basketball state finals. And it's going to evolve. To your point, it's not going to be like it was in the 50s or 60s or 70s, and it shouldn't be. What a celebration we get to have today. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
So the conversation always then basically always defaults to schedule. Now, this is the third year of the contract, right? So it's up. So apparently there's been discussion about how can we change. Now, leading up to this year, there was some talk of can we change it this year, and the IHSA and staff said, hey, let's wait until the contract is up, and then we'll figure out what to do moving forward. So what are some of the discussions, or, I mean, is that something, is there still a lot of things to consider, or what are some of the options right now, you think?
Yeah, I think we need to continue to talk about the schedule, because it is, I think we all sympathize with the schools who only have a one-day experience at the state finals. We had nearly a quarter century in Peoria where they had a two-day experience. That wasn't always guaranteed in the old days, yeah. But it had become that way in Peoria. And it's hard. It's hard for those, you know, four schools that only get the one-day experience here. I don't know what the answer is, though, unless you start earlier. Because everybody's convinced, I don't know if that's the right word, but everybody still feels like today is special, and we don't want to taint that with any other games if we can avoid it.
Yeah, because like you said, like we talked about, you know, I think the four state title games are like the best thing that like the IHSA has ever done with the boys basketball tournament. It's so fun to stay. But like you said, you know, you got to fit 16 games in across 3 days, which is really tough to do. And I know, like, you know, you talked about those great games on Thursday, but, like, you know, the one game with the double overtime, and then, you know, later in the night, that pushes those third-place games back farther and farther and farther. So I guess, like, what do you think, like, any of the options are to maybe try to make that a little bit of a better experience? Is there anything specifically been talked about to maybe, you know, change the schedule up?
Well, we have talked about playing five games one of those early days and get to a spot where we play a consolation game, likely a 4A consolation game this morning. So to do something like that, you'd have to play likely the 1, 2, and 3A semifinals on Thursday, then spend Friday playing some consolation games and the 4A semifinals, maybe play those at night, and then you could turn around and have an early game, a consolation game on Saturday, and then follow that up with 4 championship
games.
And
you think that, like, the third-place games are, like, going to stick around, though? There's not been, like, any talk of taking them away?
At this point, people still enjoy the consolation game. So, yeah, I don't see that going away for the time being.
And I would agree. I know there's always been debate about that. I'm not a person in favor of taking away a third-place game, because if I was a kid, I'd say, raise your hand if you want to play another game at State Farm Center. I don't care if it's 9 o'clock at night. I mean, you have to give those kids the opportunity. So how does then the contract work after the third year? Is it just open up again, or is it an extension, or what's in play now with the State Farm Center?
Yeah, we've begun having some negotiations here with the university and the arena. So I would expect that soon after the tournament, we'll just announce that we've extended the contract
now,
for
a
okay? period of time.
Are they okay giving it up for the 3 days? Because I know that seems like that was always a talking point.
Yeah, they have been. And like I said, they've been great to work with. I think the way their schedules fall, they're comfortable with the way we've – you know, they had the big Purdue game earlier in this week, so it's been a busy week here at the State Farm Center, and they've been fine with that.
All right, so getting away from the state tournament, though, you know, many coaches say, when's the shot clock coming? So not going to be here next year. How soon do you think it'll be? Because, you know, I've always heard it's not if, it's when. So I know when is not next year, but how soon do you think the possibility is?
I think we're looking at probably 3 years, to be honest with you. We've had a couple of really good years with this experimental phase. I think we're going to talk about maybe allowing schools to transition into just using it during the regular season without having to have any approval, with an idea, with our eyes cast to probably about the 26-27 school year, and just say at that point it's even going to be in the state series. We want need to give schools time to get the equipment and the people trained and comfortable with it.
So what type of feedback have you got? I believe it's been 2 years now where, you know, tournaments and shootouts have been able to use it. What type of feedback have you got from, you know, maybe teams who've played there, you know, events that have ran it? What's the feedback been like with the shot clock that has been in play at some of those places?
By far the biggest thing that I hear is from coaches in terms of how it's changed the way they've coached, and they've been refreshed by that. You know, they've given them a whole new way of looking at how to run an offense. And most folks would tell you that there aren't many possessions, even without a shot clock, that get to 35 seconds. So they've been able to think about different ways, and they've become more creative offensively. But they've also said end-of-game strategies are so much more fun now. You know, because they can if they're 6 or 7 down with 1:40 to go, they don't have to start fouling. They know if they can get a stop, a quick score, they're still right in the game. So it's been refreshing to hear the coaches say, we're liking this.
Now, the only thing I'll say, though, from a small school standpoint, I've only seen it experimentally one time in the last 2 years, and that's at Western.
Right.
The Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. So that's the one concern I have just from a small school standpoint. They're not getting an opportunity, one, to play in it, you know, even experimentally, and two, to administer it.
Right.
Game side. And that's the one, and I think 3 years that, to me, what you're saying is, if you're saying this right now, schools need to start considering, hey, we need to look at getting the infrastructure
they do
in.
Yeah.
So we can experiment with it, with game management, right? Because that's that's what I hear, not so much to me. It's not so much the expense of it. It's the game management.
Yeah, having somebody that knows what they're doing at the table, without a doubt. So what do you guys think about the new, you know, because I think this is sort of tied in. What do you think about the new rule change with the resetting of the fouls this year?
I like it. I think it adds, like, more of kind of a flow to the game, because, like, a lot of times you see, you know, like in, if early in the first or third quarter, a team gets, you know, three or four fouls quickly, like it really slows the entire half down where it just becomes kind of a free throw contest. But I think it changes the end of the game a lot because, you know, we noticed a lot, like in the fourth quarter, you know, getting to shoot two free throws instead of the one and one when you're leading, I think is an advantage because you're guaranteed to get the two, where if you miss the front end of the one and one like you did in years past, I mean, that's, you know, a missed opportunity for another point potentially. So I think it helps out the team that's leading a little bit just to know you get those two free throws as opposed to having to shoot the three one and one.
But it's also interesting, though, from the quarter change, especially in the second half, from the third to the fourth,
right,
because the reset about how you play or style of play, and then, you know, the one in bonus no longer in play. And then this brings up a great point you bring up. I feel ashamed that I'm mentioning this, and I think it's something member schools need to do a better job of. And, like, when you do meet the teams, like, I think if you do a meet the team, basically the first 10 minutes should be for everybody that's there, including parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, especially the ones that get rowdy at the games, that they think this is a rule. And I've heard so many officials say, no, that's not a rule. And even coaches will say, no, that's not a rule. Is you take 5-10 minutes and say, here are the rules as an educated fan, right? So the one thing I didn't realize this year with that new rule is the first overtime game I did.
Oh.
I didn't realize it was a carryover.
Right.
Because I thought, well, does the, you know, I said during the broadcast, I said, I'm not sure if it resets or if it's carryover. Overtime is a reset. And that's one thing I didn't know, and I was ashamed to admit that. But that's one of the things that I think we all need to do a better job of, hey, let's educate people about the rules. And I think one of the great ways to do that is at Meet the Team events, because I love a lot of the football coaches, when they have their Meet the Team scrimmages, they bring in the officials. And I know the officials explain to the kids during the game this is point of emphasis or whatever. But to me, a greater part of that would be, hey, here's some of the things that I hear you people shouting in the fans that, you know, get them off or whatever, you know. I mean, that's something maybe member schools could look at doing a better job of, I think.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Do you feel better about, are we making some headway with official shortage, or is it still a significant shortage?
Well, I think we're still shorter in all sport across the board than we'd like, but I think we're starting to see some upward ticks. So I think in the next 3 or 4 years we're going to be in a more stable spot with our officiating numbers.
Provisional license, I know we had you on talking about that, and we highlighted some of the kids in the WMJ listing area. Again, that's a great opportunity.
One of the players from Mount Zion yesterday, a year ago, got his provisional license. His dad is the trainer, athletic trainer for the team. They officiate some ninth grade games in the Decatur area.
All right, give me something that stands out this weekend storyline for you. Any games? You probably say, well, all of them matter, but I mean, anything specific? And then as you're reflective of maybe, you know, this whole run for you overseeing this thing, any specific games stand out, whether it be Jalen Brunson scoring 50-some-odd points the one night, or just the amount of talent maybe you've seen over the years?
Well, I don't want to pander to the home crowd, but how can you forget the shot that the Rockridge boy made?
Garson Price.
Yeah, that was incredible. You know, the funny part to that, well, funny part for me is, with about a minute to go, we sit down there at the table, and I was talking to our head official for that game. I don't know what prompted me to say this. I just said, this game's going to end on a buzzer beater. The guy got that shot. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, the story with that is he was right-handed. He shot it left-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Good kid, too. And you know what Carson Frakes is doing now?
No.
He's an air traffic controller in Seattle, Washington.
Is he really? Oh, my gosh.
He was in Idaho.
Okay.
And that's one of the other things I tell people about, and you know, for how long you've done it. And I've seen, you know, the connections you've had. Like, I see Coach Storm here, who you knew from Erie, Coach Winkler, you know, who was at Erie. And that's what, you know, because I talk about, like, all these connections that we have locally. And that's not just me. That's, like, everybody in this building today. And that's one of the things that you probably have to cherish the most about kind of this position, right?
Without a doubt. Yeah, I've been so blessed. I, you know, like a lot of people, have gotten opportunities that I never could have imagined, and I'm just grateful to have met so many wonderful people. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it's about at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, Ty, you have anything else basketball-wise?
I don't think so, no.
We've got a more important topic.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to – he wants to – because, look, he's pandering to the home audience. Right. So, also, Kirk Gibson, not only administrator of IHSA basketball, and I do want to segue from then we're going to talk about bass fishing, administrator of bass fishing. But then, you know, we talk about just giving kids opportunities to participate and being part of something. And I want to get something from you on esports because you were at the kind of the onset of that when the IHSA introduced that. So, but you want, I'm kind of burying the lead here, as we say in the business. So give me an update on IHSA bass fishing as it relates to the fine folk of Mercer County.
On February 21st, our office received approval from the Department of Natural Resources for our permit to conduct a bass fishing sectional out of Pool 18.
Which is New Boston. Boston.
New Boston, so Illinois, yes.
So Mercer County officially a host of a Mercer County bass fishing sectional. And can you kind of just elaborate, from an organizational standpoint, with bass fishing and the growth that you've had in the sport, you've always said we need more bodies of water to fish at for these competitions. So that's kind of where this came. Can you kind of just speak a little bit to the process or why, you know, this area is a good area for this?
Well, you know, in any of these kinds of situations, we're going to rely on local folks who know more than, you know, our office will. And so once we identified that we were having some growth in that particular sort of northwesty quadrant of the state, we started reaching out to our schools and said, where are some good places to fish? And the folks, Chris Schwartz, who's going to be joining the IHSA team next school year, and the folks in Aledo quickly said, hey, this is a good fishing area over by Pool 18. And so went over there and looked the area over this past summer, talked with our DNR contacts, and they said, yeah, if you feel like that's a location that'll work for everybody, we can get you the okay to do that. And so A led to B led to C, and we're going to be fishing on the river here come May 2nd.
All right, awesome. And then just as, you know, we talk about those type of activities and athletics that you try to grow opportunity for kids, and then esports has really taken off as well, and you were part of that vision too, right?
Yeah. Another opportunity that came our way, and we were fortunate to have – you know, the gaming is so popular with high school students in particular. A number of schools had clubs before we got into it, and they provided us some guidance on how to best structure a tournament. And now I think we're going to be in year three, maybe four. I think it's year four this year of our esports tournament.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on today with Blue Blazer and all.
Yeah.
That's awesome, and it should be a fun day. Things tip off at 11 o'clock. Been really good games this weekend, and I think a lot of great stories today for the 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A sessions. It's hard to believe that the basketball season, high school-wise, coming to an end today. Anything else from you, Ty?
Not a lot. Just thanks a lot, Craig, and enjoy the day
Kurt,
today.
Or Craig.
Kurt, sorry.
We have the local connection.
Kurt. Yeah. I know we were talking to him the other day. Sorry about that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I know we'll talk to you a couple times, hopefully before your tenure is over, but we've always appreciated the relationship with you, and good to see you as always.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Sounds good. Right. Thanks, Kurt.
We'll take a break. Come back with more from the State Farm Center in a moment.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copy or printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. The Phillips Wildcats on to the 2A state title game after a semifinal win, a hard-fought win on Thursday over Williamsville. We're talking with Phillips head coach Paris Barton. So, Coach, should we start with you? This is the first trip to the boys' basketball state tournament for Phillips in 47 years, playing for a state title for the first time in 49 years. What does that mean for the school, the program, and for you personally?
Man, it means a lot. It means a lot with the hard work and dedication that these boys put in from – what, I want to say August. Like, we've been putting in work since August. They said they wanted to be at the top. They wanted to rise to the top, be number one. And they wouldn't take second for granted. Like, the whole season, no matter what game we lost, as you can see, we had 9 losses on our record. But they never wavered. They wanted to make sure that they were at the top. They didn't want nobody to beat them, no team. They never felt anybody was better than them.
Well, this is your second year as head coach at Phillips. What have been some of the biggest keys, you know, taking over this program, getting to a point in a season, like we said, haven't played for the state championship in 49 years? What have been some of the keys to get to this point for you?
Brotherhood. Believing within is our message. God did is my motto. I go by that every day. We start practice like that. God did. And like I said, brotherhood. They bonded and built as brothers that it won't be taken from them. And like I said, by them being young, they were all coming in from, you know, so it was like, man, to put them together and to watch them build, it's crazy.
You talk about kind of that youthful group you have. You start, you know, 4 underclassmen, basically just one senior of your top 5 kids. You mentioned those 9 losses. You know, what kind of, like, growth have you seen from your team from the beginning of the season, maybe day 1 of practice to now heading to the state championship here on Saturday?
Stand discipline. And understanding our message and our methods and messages to each and every last player in the program. Like I said, they bought in and believed in one another. They did it themselves. They go out, kick it, talk every day on the phone, and say, and tell, they come to me and tell me what they see is right.
We know the city of Chicago has such a proud, you know, basketball heritage, and, you know, you get to the state championship game at Phillips here in 2023-24. You mentioned it in the statewide press conference, got to the semifinals of the public league tournament championship this season. How much does playing in the public league get you ready to make a postseason run? I'm sure you get a lot of different looks, a lot of really good talent you see throughout the season. So how much does that schedule help you? I know it's probably tough, but you know, that's probably been a big help getting to this point.
Yes, in our conference, we have one of the toughest conferences in the country. So every night you're dealing with either a Division I player, high-level player. Just speaking of teams in our conference that has like 4 or 5 Division I players on their team, for them to sit there and battle against that was a testimony itself.
And, you know, we're all here this week because we all love, you know, interscholastic athletics. We all love basketball. Beautiful game, right? Basketball isn't, you know, I think the game you played Thursday, you know, you have kids from the city of Chicago playing a team from downstate Illinois, really different backgrounds at the state university in Champaign. I mean, what a beautiful game to a great game coming down to the wire. That's what basketball and interscholastic athletics are all about.
Man, it's a beautiful scene. Like, if you pay attention to the 1A games today, they were competitive overtimes, 2 overtimes. So it pushed our game back about 45 minutes. So my boys was in the locker room getting a little anxious, ready to get up and down, like, man, when are we going to play? So they understood the message, and like I said, pretty much they just waited their moment.
All right, Phillips boys basketball coach, Paris state title Saturday. Coach, thanks for talking with us, and good luck in the state title game.
Thank you.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony, featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more? Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. For the first time ever, Benton High School playing for a state championship in boys basketball in 2023-24, talking with Benton head coach Ron Weinmiller. So can you start, Coach, by telling us, you know, what this means, getting to the state title game for Benton Ranger basketball?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's been a whirlwind. You know, I'm super happy for our players
and for our community. You saw we had a huge crowd here today. Just really happy for them and something that Benton loves basketball, and to be able to be the first team to play in the state title game is pretty special.
Well, this postseason run you've been on, just kind of the last three games, you look at the programs and the teams you've beaten in Breeze Central, who was number one in the state, and then Tutopolis, who's such a proud program, and then a Byron team who went really deep into the season, undefeated this year. Of course, we saw what they did on the football field, too. Really special athletes. That's cool. So just have you been able to kind of take in, like, this is, I mean, getting to the state title game is special, obviously, but the teams, the programs you've beaten, what a postseason run.
Yeah, it's been something that we've not taken for granted, and we've talked about. You know, not only have we been able to win in advance, but you're beating storied programs who have been there before and are battle-tested, so to speak. And, you know, that was Central's third straight sectional title appearance. So it's something that we've certainly realized what we've done. And I told the guys, there'll be time to reflect on it. Right now, you're kind of caught up in the moment, but I'm just really happy for them.
32-3 entering the state championship game. Two losses to schools in Kentucky, it looked like, where it looks like you've kind of went around to try to play some really good teams. I think, you know, you said in the statewide press conference, both of those teams still alive in Kentucky, too. So, you know, when you look at the schedule you've played, how much do you think that's helped you get ready to make this run and play for a state championship this weekend?
Oh, it's helped a lot. I think it's the toughest schedule we've played in my time as a head coach. And I think our guys would tell you that. And not only did we play a really good schedule this year, we played a really good schedule in the summer. So I knew these guys were pretty battle-tested, but they just continue to step up when we need them to.
And one thing I really liked about your statewide press conference is you could really tell, you know, how much you care and how much you love coaching your team, right? And that's kind of what coaching education is all about. We talked about, you know, the first question I asked you was, you know, what does it mean getting here? But how special is it to do it with these kids to get to play for a state title?
Yeah, it's special. You know, it's special. And these guys have been the ones that have put in a lot of countless hours and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears when nobody was watching. And now they're reaping the rewards of it. But, yeah, I'm certainly glad we get to play one more game on Saturday.
And, you know, the best thing I think about the state tournament, it allows kids to kind of, you know, put their face on the map statewide, where maybe a lot of kids haven't heard of Docker Tedeschi from Benton, but, you know, first team All-Stater, and then another great performance today, playing for a state title on Saturday now as a junior, really special player. So just a little bit about, you know, what he means to the program and the type of player he is.
Yeah, we were really playing well last year, and then he got hurt and missed about 12 games, and we kind of struggled to find our footing when he came back. But, you know, he's special. I mean, just what he does at both ends of the floor is pretty uncommon that most people don't see.
All right, that's Ron Weinmiller, the head coach of the Benton Rangers, playing for a state title on a Saturday. Coach, good luck in the state championship game.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
This is Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roosh at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. State tournament weekend this weekend at the State Farm Center in Champaign. And Brian Roosh, let's brag a little bit about West Carroll and their pep band, back-to-back years with a state tournament performance. What about that? Got to be pretty proud up that way.
Oh, yes. They've got a great music department there. You had a chance to talk to Emily Bressler, and we certainly appreciate that interview. But, yeah, just a great achievement, outstanding effort by the kids. And I know, as you outlined in your interview, it was such a long day, but they are, you know, troopers. They just, you know, played their music morning, noon, and night, and just getting selected a second straight time. That is awesome. And I saw reviews both from people with the West Carroll district and people not with the district, and they were all rave reviews. So that's great.
And I think the IHSA does a great job of promoting that. And as you mentioned, and as Emily mentioned, you know, about the long day. So, you know, they start playing with the
you know, semifinal session that tips off at 9:30, and they go through those third place games that wrap up, well, Thursday night, you know, about 10:30. So they're 13 hours. That's a long day in the band, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. I mean, that's a long day. But she told you that, you know, they have breaks and they get, you know, hydrated and they have, you know, their lunch and their dinner and such. But even so, that's a lot of, you know, time sitting in an arena playing music. And from what I hear, it wasn't like there was a drop-off from morning to night. They kept a consistent product out there all day.
Yeah, and again, for those people that are listening that have pep bands that are interested in performing at the state tournament, pretty simple. You just have to submit, well, now it's a video. It used to be an audition tape, but just a video of a performance to be considered by the IHSA to play. And it's a great experience for the kids to play at whatever venue at the state tournament. So that brings us to, you know, the schedule. And that's something the IHSA said they're probably going to change out of the state tournament this year. But you just can't continue to have those third place games on the same day of the semifinals, can you?
You cannot. And I don't know if there's a good compromise. We talked a little bit about this last week, and I was kind of looking at, you know, Iowa and Wells Fargo Arena, and they have a great schedule. I mean, they start things off with quarterfinal round games like on Monday. They wrap up on Friday with the championship games. But the one thing they're missing that you mentioned last week is that third place game. And I really think that, you know, we talked about it last week, that would be dangerous to see that cut.
And I think, too, though, the schedule, and I complain about this a lot during the football state final series, Brian, that I don't like the fact that 1A championship football game has to be at 10 a.m. every Friday after Thanksgiving. You know, it's just like these, the 1A semifinals, you know, in boys basketball tipping off at 9:30 a.m. on Thursday. I don't like that either. I don't think that's very fair because I think you limit, you know, the opportunity for some fans to get to a Thursday morning game, a very important game at the state tournament at 9:30. So I think they kind of even need to alter those start times too, because I don't think a 9:30, you know, semifinal game in the morning, I really don't like that either.
Well, and yeah, and the other part of it is in the evening games with those third place contests, those tip times look great on paper, but you and I both know that if there's any kind of overtime or double overtime in the afternoon or any game that runs long, it's going to push and you don't have any room to absorb. And next thing you know, you're sending those Byron fans back to Northern Illinois, you know, leaving at like 11 o'clock walking out of the State Farm Center.
The other thing I wanted to bring up about the state tournament, we're actually recording this interview Friday during the 3A semifinal game between Mount Carmel and Mount Zion. Of course, Mount Carmel, the Chicago Mount Carmel school, the suburban or the Chicago Catholic League with a great football pedigree. But, you know, Thursday in the 1A, 2A semifinal session, we always hear, you know, well, we hear it a lot when the, you know, non-boundary schools win. We always hear the complaints, but then we don't hear a lot when the public school wins. And I thought it was interesting with the Thursday semifinal sessions. You have West Central from Winchester. They beat a private school in Aurora Christian 70-65. And then Mounds Meridian beat a Chicago school, Mounds Meridian from Pulaski County, deep southern Illinois, 68-60. And, you know, there were some public schools that I thought pulled off nice wins this year over non-boundary schools in the football playoffs. But, you know, like I said, it's interesting because you don't hear a lot of that conversation when the public school wins, right? So I haven't heard much of that conversation so far this weekend.
And it's funny you mentioned that, Jim, because that's one of the first things I thought about in 1A. I'm like, oh, look, the public schools are advancing and the, you know, parochial schools are going to third place games, you know, and that's interesting. And I think I'm correct that, you know, and I know this is, we're talking Friday and Carmel's in the semifinals, but are they looking for a trifecta, a football championship, a wrestling championship, and a basketball championship?
Oh, my goodness. Well, and I think, you know, you talk about Byron had the potential Thursday too with football and basketball. Of course, they lose in the semifinals in basketball, but then the Byron radio guy was telling me they're a contender for the state in baseball. They think too, so Byron has a chance to make a tremendous run. So yeah, those are interesting stories to follow. Now, the other thing I was going to bring up, haven't heard much conversation still about the shot clock. So when is that thing ever going to come to Illinois, you think?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's like a lot of things. You either love it or hate it. I hear coaches that are on both sides. I hear very few that say, oh, we don't care either way, you know. Many of them say we want it, and then I'm surprised that many say, no, let's leave the game as it is. So I just think that, you know, what we've talked about in the past with the cost and such, that's going to make it difficult.
And I don't like it. I don't want it. I just like the games when they're close with less than 2 minutes, because you can be critical either way. You're holding on to the ball too much. It's going to cost you. Continue to play. Or you use the strategy to say, hey, we're going to try and bleed the clock either way. So I like the subjectiveness of the coach having to make that decision down the stretch. So anyway, that's my thought on that. But I know eventually it's coming, but it doesn't look like it's coming at least next season. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too, but they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
All right, WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning on location at the State Farm Center. The 1A state title game tips off at around 11 o'clock featuring Meridian from the Deep South and Mounds, Illinois, taking on West Central from Winchester. And, of course, that is home to one of the longest-running invitational tournaments in the state, the WIT Winchester Invitational Tournament. Hey, we got to talk to Nesto Hoops again, Aaron Britton.
The mayor of Mounds.
He's all in for Mounds. They're crazy, though. He picked West Central to win the 1A state title game, so everybody in Mounds, Illinois, population, what, 600-some-odd people, they're all mad. Every one of them is mad at Nesto right now. So yeah. Good to have you on with us.
Glad to always be back with you guys. How are we doing this morning?
Excited for state championship basketball, man. This is such a fun day, I think. You know, the best thing I should say did is put the 4 state title games on the same day.
Yeah, I don't know if the momentum builds like they expected it to, because maybe 400 or 500 people are going to stay and watch all 4 games as the fans trickle in and out, but it certainly builds my excitement when we get to those 3-game, 4-A games.
Well, I think, like, just throughout the week, you know, I can't remember a year where the semifinal games, by and large, have been so competitive. I mean, basically, you know I think the normal community game kind of got away late, but, you know, 7 of the 8 games feel like they've been games in the fourth quarter. That's something that you rarely see, and I think it's made for a pretty fun week here in Champaign.
Yeah. Looking at the 1A games going back a few years, they just haven't been good. There's been good teams, but the quality hasn't been great. And those 1A semifinals were phenomenal games the other day. And the 2A games were great. And it just builds for a good championship day.
Well, we mentioned, you know, you went to Meridian from Mounds. I know you're not, like, you don't live in Mounds anymore, but pretty connected, I assume, with people that still are down there. What does, like, this mean for them getting to play for the state title day? How much excitement is there in the community and around the district, you think, playing for a state championship here in less than an hour?
There is a lot of excitement. It gives them an opportunity to get out of Pulaski County, which they can get a whole lot of opportunities to get out of Pulaski County, and there's a lot more people that wish they could travel up here for it. It's 3 hours away, but they're gonna have as many people here as they possibly can. As far as like the coaching staff, I watched all those guys grow up. They all are Meridian Bobcats. David Davis, the head coach, is the school's winningest all-time player. He was a 4-year starter. He was a point guard on the 2015 runner-up team. Malcolm Larry was on the 2018 that went 28-3. Jotty Jones, he's like a 1,500 career point scorer for Meridian. So then there's Meridian boys on the staff, and they've connected really well with the kids. There's just a toughness about this group and an unwillingness to give up, which a lot of teams in the past, Meridian, you get down 6 to 10 points and hang their heads, game's over, and this group hasn't been that way.
They were eating last night as a team because we were at the restaurant. They were eating at Neal Street Blues. Last night is where the team was eating at. You know, the other thing, too, that I think is interesting about the 1A, 2A format compared to the 3A, 4A format is you win the game on Thursday, you get the day off, and then play Saturday. And that's one of the things that I've heard from the coaching community about the one thing. I think most coaches like that the tournament is here. There's no question about that at the State Farm Center. But the one thing that is different from when it was the two-class system when the tournament was first here is teams got to practice on the court. Yep. You don't get a practice. So you got to find basically a venue, make arrangements with the Champaign area school, Parkland Community College, or whatever to practice. So, but 3A, 4A, they play the games and then they're playing the next day. So how do you think that factors in with 1A, 2A?
Are you too busy? I think that the 1A, 2A level, it gives you 24 hours to prepare. If there's teams that you haven't seen on film or if there's teams you have seen and you want to watch the game that they played Thursday, it gives you an opportunity to do that and have maybe some walkthroughs about things you want to take away or things you want to try offensively or defensively. So it should lean itself to where the better coaching staff would have the better advantage. And as far as the players, it maybe goes the other way with them because then you're hanging around for 24 hours. I would rather just go ahead and play. We're up here. Let's go ahead and play this game. But it gives you an opportunity to, I don't know, maybe get in some trouble you shouldn't get into or some other stuff like that. But I think we should have a good one.
All right, Nesso, man. What game are you looking forward to the most? Maybe don't say Meridian. We can't say the Meridian game. So 2A through 4A, what do you think will be maybe the best state title game today before we let you go?
The best title game, I think, will be Normal and HF. The team that I'm looking forward to play the most is DePaul Preps because I love watching them play defense. Yeah. It's not always a pretty game. It can look like a rock fight every now and then, but those kids guard hard every possession of the game.
All right, Aaron Britton, Nesto Hoops, love your work. You are a treasure in this state. You're just like Dave Nandengay from Illinois High School Glory Days website.
Don't compare me to him.
No, man, I'm telling you, these are the type of resources I like in this state, and you couldn't ask for two nicer dudes as well. Have you met Dave Nandengay?
I have not.
Well, that's my bucket list. I'm going to get you two in the same room someday, and we'll have a conversation, you, me, and him.
I look forward to it.
All right. Enjoy the day today, sir.
Enjoy you guys.
Thanks, Nesto.
I will see you guys.
All right. Yep. Matt Troha, heavy hitter batting cleanup, is standing by with the IHSA Monmouth College grad. More coming up on WMJ.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now, Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Long live the Monmouth College Fighting Scots. We get a chance to visit with IHSA's Matt Troha. He always, I think you told me the one time your first, like, ever professional gig was working for the Monmouth Review Atlas, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, all 4 years in college while I was at Monmouth College, I covered high school sports for that newspaper. And
so how stoked were you the first time you ever saw Byline Matt Troha, Monmouth Review Atlas?
I was really stoked, to be honest with you. I think I went and bought the paper, and I had written a headline for it, and they changed the headline. And I was looking for the headline, and I couldn't find it. And I was like, they cut my story. And I was like near tears. And then I found it.
So what year did you graduate college?
2004.
So was it still Monmouth High School then, or was it Monmouth Roosevelt at that point?
All right.
Do you remember?
It was, well, there was Monmouth Warren was there still, yeah, too.
So that would have been the Zippers probably.
There was Monmouth, and then Roseville was still its own school.
The Panthers.
Yes, and then there was Yorkwood was still
Bears,
there.
Yeah.
I covered some games at Yorkwood, and then there was Warren as well.
Okay. Look at this guy all over the place. Look at him dropping lines.
And that blows my mind in retrospect, because it's like in the Chicago suburbs with, you know, communities of like 300,000 people at five high schools, so, and Monmouth had like four at that time.
So it's funny because he's pandering to the home audience, and that's exactly what Kirk Gibson said, because we asked Kirk Gibson, what's his top memory from the boys basketball state tournament, and he said Carson Frank shot, and then he goes, well, I'm pandering to the home audience.
That's good.
Of course you are. So what's this like weekend like for you? You know, overseeing all the media relations aspect. You make it look so easy, but I know there is so much work that goes into this stuff.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a long weekend, and there's a lot that goes into it, but you know, this is a people business, and you meet a lot of great people like Nesto, who was just on here. it's a unique community, the high school sports, you know, media and coaches, and I love it. I love just getting to interact with everybody and see. It's all these people that, you know, just kind of come together on this weekend that you see and talk to throughout the year.
And I always liked your perspective, because you started in the newspaper business, and I think you have the acumen to work with people in this business. What's your, you know, take on where we're at? This is interesting. You know, I'm interested to hear your response. You know, declining newsrooms with newspapers. You've seen a change. You've drastically seen the change since you've been in this job. And I know people will say radio competes with newspaper. I'll never say that it does, because I tell people we're all in this together. I'm sad that there's not more newspaper beat writers at games. When I first started in this business in the early 90s, it was so awesome how Press Row at local gyms was packed. And I'm just so sad that very rarely do I go to games anymore where I see a lot of the traditional, you know, beat writers, that type of media. You've seen that, you know, kind of up close and personal probably since you've been in the job.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's a lot of, you know, right when I got in, I feel like there was a lot of those legends of prep sports. Like when I started, I'd get an email from like Bob Sakamoto, and it was like, oh my God, I read that guy for 20 years, you know, and now we're emailing. And kind of that was right around that shift about 15 years ago. It was a lot of those folks were starting to get bought out or move on to other things. And I agree, it makes me sad too. And you see some new groups coming, like Channel. You guys, I'm sure, know about Channel 1450 in Springfield. They're incredible. I don't really understand why that model hasn't caught on in other markets, because they are awesome. And I, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about I was talking about a photographer, just how tight we get today. And I was telling her, you know, I let a lot more of these kids that are doing stuff on Instagram. There's a lot of kids doing a lot of really cool things on social media. Really professional, and I'm trying to kind of find that mix, because I realize, right, the kids are probably more likely, these players are more likely to find it, that content first, than maybe a newspaper story that might be behind a paywall. And, you know, the thing that gets me, and I don't have any answers, but it's like there are 80,000 different people covering the Chicago Bears, and like sometimes I'll see a column on the Chicago Bears, like in the Rockford Register Star, and I'm just thinking to myself, it's just got to be just white noise with all the coverage out there. Why isn't there just more investment in high school sports? And I keep telling myself that somebody's going to find the model and or recognize it, and it's going to trickle down, and it's going to start back up. And
so,
I hope I'm right, but I don't know.
How much do you think, like, how important would you say, like, media coverage is for, like, the IHSA state tournament, the IHSA sports throughout the season? Like, what kind of a role does that play, you think? Does it help out a lot, you think? Like, what's your kind of look at that?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think it's huge. And, you know, I think before, right, I think one of the things that's changed too is just the way teams schedule and things like that too, because I think there used to be that sort of aura where you heard about players from different parts of the state, right? And you wanted to come here to – so maybe it hurts in some regard too with social media, because it's like everybody's got their mixtape out there and you've seen these guys and you know what they look like, and they all everybody travels all over the state and plays in all these big shootouts. And so maybe that's taken away a little piece of that, but you know, I just think it's so important, and it's just important. I mean, I have a clip box, or a box just full of all the newspaper stories and things from when I was in high school. I think it's just beyond important.
Yeah, and I think, but, and I get the evolution of everything. You know, what, you know, the proliferation of how we digest and consume sports, the proliferation of youth sports, the proliferation of year-round sports that has impacted a lot of interscholastic athletics. And I get we're not going to go back to the way it was. And if people think that's going to happen, it's not. It's different. And the same with media, and I always kind of default to my mom, you know. It's like, why don't they have the Riverdale Morrison, you know, box score on the paper? You know, we don't get those anymore. And I think, you know, there's so – because I had a conversation one – maybe a year ago with Tom Sigel, the former head basketball coach at Rock sure. Island that won a state title and also at Rock Falls. And we were having a weird conversation about, you know, the traditional forms of media. And he said, I miss, you know, that because, one, getting information, and now we can get information, I get on the video stream, but, you know, of NFHS or basically all these games are available streaming-wise. But, you know, getting the box score information and that type of stuff. And he said, you know, that's something I really miss about this sport that I think could go a long way in maybe promoting it a little bit more. I don't know, but as you say, you know, kids and fans now digest that type of information differently. But I like box scores, and I wish on a digital media platform even you could find them, and you can't, you know. And Trojan's probably saying this bold – this old bald guy who's getting mad about get off my lawn type of stuff. But, you know, I think that type of stuff helps promote the game. And I miss that.
I'm with you. I'm also an old bald guy at this point. But.
Well, and that's why, like, you know, at the state tournament series, one of the first things I always do is I look at the box score on the info. Mm-hmm. Because you post that stuff, and I like to kind of see that. And that's something I think we're really missing. So what are your top moments like when you reflect since you've been? It doesn't have to be just like basketball, overseeing anything. Is there anything when I say, man, tell me, define your job. Describe my your job. Well, anything stand out?
I'm going to go before my job here. I'm going to tell you my first March Madness moment because you brought up Tom Sigel. And, you know, I went to Joliet Catholic, big football school, not very good in basketball, never made a run, played in the first game of the regional, we're done every year. So I never really experienced that or followed it. And when I was in college, I had some good friends from Mount Carroll, the year that they made their run to the state championship. And we went to, I think it was a sectional final at East Dubuque, and it was Rock Falls versus Mount Carroll. And, you know, we were lined up a mile long, you know, an hour beforehand to get in, and I was just, I had never really been a part of that, and I my eyes that night just opened up, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. And that really stuck with me, and that was a part of why I wanted to get to the IHSA. That, you know, getting to the IHSA was my goal. I don't remember the question.
Yeah, but that's a good answer.
I just wanted to tell that story.
And Jordan Delt play on that Mount
Carroll? He sure did. Yeah, I think he was a junior that year.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's the new head coach.
Yep.
All right. I know we're approaching
10:30.
Yeah, he's probably got to do his all-important fancy right. IHSA work.
I just wanted to ask you, you know, this, like, Saturday, I think, is just great with the four state championship games kind of back-to-back-to-back-to-back, and I know that's kind of the new thing after you move back to Champaign. I mean, how much fun is this day? You know, it's just a full day of championship games. I think it's so fun to just sit here and watch and take it all in.
I'm right there with you. That's... You know, the first 2 days, six games in a day is a grind. It's long. It's long on everybody. But, yeah, when we get to here and just go title game, title game, title game, just the energy in the building and every possession matters, I don't think you can beat it. And you know, people complain about the schedule. They complain about it, whatever we do, no matter what we do.
Right.
And I keep looking at it and thinking, all right, well, how could we tweak it and what could we do here and there? But there's a part of me that's just like, I do not want to change this day.
No, I agree.
At all. I just think it's perfect, and I hope people...
Wait, you said somebody... You said somebody's complaining about the IHSA. I'm assuming, you know, most of the people within the staff have pretty thick skin, and they know, hey, we're trying to give... Because I always default to, sometimes I get mad about certain things, but then I'm like, it's about the kids that are competing interscholastically, you know? It's not really about us. And you have to get joy from that. Why you got to get angry about all this other stuff?
Yeah, you know, when I started, and it's kind of funny, we have a newer IT director who's done an awesome job. If you've been on, like, the marchmadness.org, and he does a great job. He really gets it. But, yeah, he's kind of me, like, 10 years ago. When I started, like, I took everything personally, and every tweet I was like, oh, man, we got to fix that, and they're right, or they're wrong, and I need to get back. And, yeah, the skin has definitely gotten thicker through the years, and you let it roll off, and, you know, everybody in our office is passionate about kids and had, you know, experiences as student athletes or coaches that led them to be here and want to support these kids in the sports and activities. And, you know, the process and how we get to certain places, a lot of people think that it's, you know, kind of a you know, that we just rule over it and make all the decisions. And there's a lot more to the process. And you know what? I've sort of given up on trying to explain that to people. You know, it is what it is, and we'll take direction from our advisory committees and our board, and we'll move on however they want to, or we'll stay the same. And I'm here for it, whatever happens.
Yeah, our listeners that live in the southern portion of our listening audience, they're saying, that guy at the IHSA just said Yorkwood, Roseville, and Warren. Love him.
Yeah.
Who is he?
They'll never complain again, so way to go.
All right. Well, awesome. We always love working with Matt Troha at the IHSA and love seeing you around, and I know it should be an enjoyable day today.
Hey, thank you, guys. Yep. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for having me on, and I just want to wish your audience the best wishes on the final day of the high school basketball season.
All right.
Go Hayward.
Yeah, the Worth. Go Hornets. All right. We'll take a break and wrap things up on the WMJ Sportsland in a moment.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Save on Saucony at 6140 Run. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
All right, final day of the IHSA boys basketball season, and I know some statewide recognition for one of our local players we covered.
Yeah, so congratulations to Rockridge Junior Landon Bull. He was a second-team All-State player in Class 2A from the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association. Honorable mention from the Associated Press. Other players locally who earned some honors, Brady Clark from Kewaunee, third-team IBCA. He was honorable mention. AP as well, and then Noah Laporte and Jake Willems from Princeton and Riverdale, respectively, each honorable mention players from both the Associated Press and the IBCA and 2A. Lucas Simpson from Newman Central Catholic, second team in 1A from both the IBCA and the Associated Press. Dion Doyle from Macomb, honorable mention in Class 2A from both the AP and the IBCA, and then Baylen Damoff, second team from Fulton, 1A, IBCA as well. So congrats to all those local players on All-State Honors. I think all of them very deserve it.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, we started the show about, you know, taking for, I didn't, I mean, but, you know, missing the opportunity to broadcast a local team at state this year. You know, like I said, we've had that great opportunity the last two seasons. Missed that, so hopefully get a local team down here next year. But I thought it was interesting. With it's nice to get an audience today with Kurt Gibson and Matt Troha, and basically, you know, the message from Kurt Gibson: if you're a local school, you need to really order the shot clock infrastructure now because it's coming within 3 years.
I am in favor of the shot clock. So I am a progressive young man.
You need to order it. Well, that's what I say. You need to order it and get it installed. Maybe not next year, but the year after, run it experimentally. Get the game management stuff situated so you're ready within three seasons.
I've seen that one of the ideas is potentially, you know, when they start saying, okay, we're going to have it, when they set a date like this one will be implemented, that they could potentially, like, leave it up to conferences years prior. I'd love to see the track run the shot clock out there. I think that'd be pretty fun.
So, and then if you reading between the lines, then with Kirk Gibson, I think it's going to be five games on Thursday, five games on Friday, and then the state title.
Well, we'll
five
see.
Games.
And he basically confirmed that it's going to be staying in Champaign. The contract is up, but it sounds like that basically everything but officially it'll be staying at the State Farm Center for the next few years, however long that it will possibly be 3 years again. So that's great news. I think it should be here. And I agree with him and with what Matt said, too. They should not do anything. Nothing should change about Saturday. They shouldn't play any games on Saturday. I love just the four state title games in a row. There shouldn't be any consolation games on Saturday.
So that'll be interesting to see how
That's what I hope. But anyway, do you want to quickly give a – we should give state championship game predictions for the four games. You want to give them? All right, 1A, who do you have, Mounds Meridian or West Central out of Winchester?
I'm going to go, since we kind of broke bread when we were in the same restaurant as the Meridian team yesterday, Neal Street Blues. I think I love my food. I got a po' boy shrimp sandwich.
Just
with
pick
French
the
fries.
Game. Yeah, just pick the game. We don't care what you ate.
And you had fried chicken there.
Yeah,
so.
I'm picking West Central.
All right, I'm going to go Meridian over West Central.
2A, I have Phillips.
I'm going to go with the Benton Rangers.
Okay. 3A, this is a rematch from less than a month ago. Conference opponents, Mount Carmel and DePaul Prep out of the Chicago Public League. I'm saying DePaul Prep is repeating. 2A state champs last year. I think they're going to win the 3A state title here today.
And I'm going to go with DePaul College Prep, too, and then I'm going to say they're going to win the 4A state title
in a couple years. They'd be 3A
again
next year.
And for 4A, I'm picking Homewood Flossmoor because Jameer Dismukes is a Blackhawk Brave. That's where I attended 2 years of my life, so I'm all in for the Blackhawk Braves and Homewood Flossmoor.
I'm picking Normal Community because of their size. They start 6'4", 6'6", 6'6", 6'8", and 6'10". I'm picking them.
Although
Homewood Flossmoor plays incredible defense, I agree with what Nesto said earlier. Best state title game competitive-wise will be in Class 4A between Normal Community and Homewood Flossmoor.
All right, had a nice show. We thank Nesto Hoops, Mr. Aaron Britt, and also Matt Troha, also Kirk Gibson with the IHSA, our four coaches participating 1A through 2A today. Always thank Brian Roosh as well. And, again, games tip off around 11 o'clock. Anything else you need to mention?
Basically 30 minutes away from tip-off here at State Farm Center. I think there's a solid crowd already filing in, still 30 minutes away. You know, if you're going to watch the games at home today or if you're, you know, on your way down here listening, it should be a fun day. I mean, I think that, you know, interscholastic athletics are always about the kids, and it's always really fun watching kids get to win a state title. We've been spoiled, you know, getting to follow the Rock Ridge softball run over the past few years, and especially, like, you know, it's just great seeing 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, like, do something like this. And today, four teams will get a cut down. The Nets here at State Farm Center are going to get that ladder out there right now. It's going to get a workout today. But, I mean, I do like – I didn't even notice what Kirk Gibson said. I like they have the stars on the State of Illinois logo at midcourt where all the towns are. I love that. Look at that mound star all the way at the bottom.
Yeah, they used to have the lit-up map at the old Huff Hall where this all started back in the day. So – again, thanks to Matt Troha, Kirk Gibson, Nesto Hoops, Mr. Aaron Britton, and I know we segue into spring sports next week with Monday, the first day you can play baseball and softball games per the IHSA.
You want to know my 2A state softball championship pick? I'm picking the Rock Ridge Rockets to win the 2A state softball title.
All right, and I don't want to bury the lead, and Kirk Gibson gave us the headline for Mercer County today that they'll host a bass fishing sectional in Pool 18 on May this second, so you only get this type of news here. Yeah. And it was nice. It was fun. You know, doing
this
the
awesome. Listening
broadcast here, only local station doing it. And really an awesome experience here. And when we signed on today, basically it was us and a few other people in this building. And now there's a good,
great crowd.
Good environment filing in.
Well, there's a ton of people in that black for West Central. Holy cow, they're going to have a big crowd here today. It's going to be fun, man. Like I said, there's a lot of people that come just to watch these four games. You get a full day of basketball, the best basketball in the state. Only 8 teams are still alive. You know, out of how many over 500 play basketball in the state.
And I was going to ask you, you know, because Illinois doesn't play until Sunday, and we'll have the game over at Carver Hawkeye, a 6 o'clock broadcast. Have you seen any Illinois coaching staff here at all?
No, I haven't at all.
Today,
no.
I'm assuming the team leaves today for Iowa City, but I know Underwood made an appearance here, I think, last year.
He was here watching the Rockets play Cole Cerda.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. All right, well, Ty Taylor alongside. I'm Jim Taylor. That'll do it for the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the State Farm Center.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, office specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.